joy to have you with us.
Well, good evening. Well, good evening. I'll do that again. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and inviting me, Brother Sam. I count this a great privilege. I truly do. I'm thankful for the Lord, pouring out his blessings. And as you've read that, Brother Sam, and as we sang, no doubt that just scratches the surface. And the list just goes on and on of how the Lord has blessed us so immensely. I'm thankful to the Lord that you're here tonight, especially on a Saturday evening. And I do have somewhat of a drive afterwards. That was due to a miscommunication of scheduling. That probably never happens in your family, but it does mine. And so because of that miscommunication, my family went on and started enjoying our family vacation without me today, and so I'll catch up with them later, and that's not a problem. It's not a bit of a problem. I'd like to read a couple of verses from the book of Philippians, if you'd like to turn there to begin with. I want to get a couple of thoughts. It seems like I find myself in the beginning of my attempts to preach, kind of laying some groundwork, a few thoughts of, you know, how my mind travels, because my mind works kind of in a strange way at times, and you may not can relate unless I maybe share a few thoughts like that to let you know how I arrived at what I'm thinking. So we might spend just a couple of minutes doing that. Philippians chapter 4, get just a couple of verses, very familiar, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't get caught up in worry and anxiety. Paul isn't telling us just to go about life with a don't care attitude. That's not what he's saying, don't care. He's saying be careful for nothing. Don't get caught up in worry and anxiety. Do any of you have that problem? I do, and my mother-in-law is worse than me. She worries about everything, and if she can't find something to worry about, she'll worry about that, about not having anything to be worried about. And you know, with all of the turmoil in the world, there's a lot of things to be concerned about, but not worried. Amen. Not get caught up in anxiety so that it consumes our minds and our hearts. And that's what Paul is telling us. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, not just the big things, the small things, in everything, but in everything, whatever might normally tempt you to worry or tempt you to be anxious about, Paul says, in everything. Doesn't matter what it is, but in everything, he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul was a praying man. Saul of Tarsus, he began his Christian experience, if you will, with prayer, didn't he? You remember when Ananias found him, Paul was praying, Saul at that time, praying. In fact, the Lord told Ananias that, behold, he prayeth. Ananias was concerned about going to see this man, Saul of Tarsus, because he had heard all about the things, the persecution, all the things that he had done to those who confessed the name of Jesus Christ. And Ananias was concerned about going. He was probably worried. He was concerned about going over there. But the Lord assured him, behold, he prayeth. Paul began his Christian experience with prayer. And let's read this verse 7, because it goes along with it. You can't read verse 6 without verse 7. Because of the result of avoiding worry and anxiety, and the result of taking everything to the Lord in prayer, and taking everything to him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and that's what I want to eventually get around to, that thought of giving thanks and just what we're thankful for. And in fact, by the way, if you want to go ahead and get a little jump on this, I want to encourage you to be thinking right now. Begin to think of all of, not the natural, not the physical, but the spiritual blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon you. Begin to think about that for just a minute. We'll come back to that thought, but Paul says the result of that, the result of going to the Lord in prayer with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto God, he says the result of that is the peace of God. Again, with all the turmoil in the world, with all the things we could get caught up in, and you do get caught up in, and I do too, especially here lately in this most recent political season, as it is every couple of years, every 4 years, and a lot of times in between. We get so caught up in the events of the world, and not that we shouldn't be concerned, we should know about it, we should be informed about it, but we don't get caught up in those things. He says, the peace of God. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Do you ever find yourself, you get to a point and your understanding runs out? That's what Paul is telling us. We get to that point. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I can't see clearly. For whatever reason, my understanding runs out. And where my understanding runs out, the peace of God takes me further, right? It goes above and beyond, but it takes us further. That's the picture that Paul paints for us here. Not just that the peace of God is so much better than our understanding, it is, but it's the peace of God carries us forward. It takes us on further than what our understanding, as good as our understanding might be, it's not good enough to get us through the things of this world and the trials and afflictions of life, right? So the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, shall guard, keep your hearts and minds. Paul was a praying man, and I do want to come back, and I kind of want to focus on that thought of thanksgiving, but just to let you know, remind you that, you know, as Saul of Tarsus, beginning his Christian experience with prayer, you see it recorded in Paul's epistles, the things that he prayed for, and that's often how he began his letters, is expressing to a church or expressing to a preacher what he was thankful for and what he had been praying for concerning whoever he was writing. And you get to that last epistle. What we normally think about, as far as we know, Paul's last letter to that young man, Timothy, 2 Timothy, you get over there to the end of that letter, and you'll see that he's still a praying man. He began his Christian walk as a praying man. He ended it as a praying man. He came to the close of his life still praying, still feeling the need for prayer and enjoying and exercising himself in that great privilege. And what a great privilege it is. Do you think about what we do when we pray? And I'm thankful and it's needful that we have public prayer. You know what I do oftentimes? When I'm called on for public prayer, which I don't really like to. I don't feel comfortable doing it sometimes, and I don't know why. But I think it's because I often find myself kind of just saying the same thing that I've heard other people say in public prayer. I'm supposed to say it a certain way. I'm supposed to use certain phrases, you know, when I'm praying publicly. And you know, that not whether it's private or public, it should be from the heart, right? Amen. And I think that's why I'm not comfortable praying publicly, because I'm kind of afraid for people to see what's in my heart at times. You know, I just don't get, you know, that close personal with people all the time. And so I should pray from the heart, but I'm afraid to let you see my heart. Do you ever feel that way? Can you relate to that? I told a gentleman I worked with, it's been several years ago, and I probably shouldn't tell this story because I'm ashamed of it now. And he was actually my boss at the time. I'm surprised I said this, or I'm surprised I kept my job when I said it to him. But we were gathered for, it was probably a Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner or something there at work. Somebody called on him to pray, to return thanks. And you could tell, I mean, it was obvious he was very nervous about it. And he did fine. It was fine, you know. He told me a little bit later, he said, I'm not comfortable praying publicly. And I shouldn't have said this. I said, well, you know, sometimes if you don't pray like you should privately, that's why you don't like to pray publicly. And boy, and he looked, oh man, he didn't like that. And as soon as I said it, oh man, I start looking for another job now. But that's not true. It could be true, but it's not necessarily true, right? Anyway, so I want to consider from one of Paul's epistles in a very familiar place, Ephesians chapter 1. I want to consider this evening the spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Oh, and this thing about prayer. We are reaching into, literally, the very throne room of God. I'm sure you've probably heard that expressed kind of like that. But can you imagine? It just blows my mind, if I can use that expression, to think that I can call upon the creator of the universe. Do you really believe that? Sure. I hope you do. And if you don't, I hope you do when we get through. That we are actually called, the one who created, the one who spoke all things into existence. Do you believe in that God? Amen. Is that the God we serve? The one who created all things out of nothing. That's who we're praying to. That's who we're calling on. We get to speak to the creator of the universe. Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing to me. So as we think about prayer and what we're thankful for, let's read here in Ephesians chapter 1. Very familiar passage. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, obviously. He's writing to those he refers to as the faithful in Christ Jesus. Oh, is he writing to me? Well, he is, but I don't feel like it. The saints at Ephesus, I don't feel much like a saint, hardly ever. You're not a saint. I'm not a saint because of how we act. We're saints because we're sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been set apart, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We are saints. We may not look like it at times. We may not act like it. We may not live like it. But in the eyes of this Creator, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of our Heavenly Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are. We're saints. We're the faithful in Christ Jesus. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you can quote. You can quote this better than I can. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's what I want to focus on tonight. Who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, right? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, it's a long sentence, isn't it? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Beautiful language, beautiful language. What is Paul? This is a prayer. You ever thought about that? Paul is expressing himself in a prayer of praise and thanksgiving when he begins this letter. And as he does in many of his letters. When he says, blessed be, what does he mean by that? Blessed be. Brother Sam said we can't magnify. We can't make the Lord to be any bigger than he already is. We can magnify him. Help others to see, help ourselves and help others to see him more clearly. And so Paul here is kind of similar when he says blessed be. Oh, do you say blessed or do you say blessed? I'm not sure which one is supposed to say. It seems like when I read the Beatitudes, you know, all those blessed are, you know, Matthew chapter 5, I say blessed. if I'm just talking to you in just normal conversation, you might say, or I might say, the Lord truly has blessed me. So maybe y'all can help me out to figure out which way I'm supposed to say that. But here I'm going to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is Paul saying there? What does he mean when he says, blessed be? We can't bless God in the sense, you know, in the way that he blesses us, obviously. He blesses us. He gives us things, spiritual things. He bestows things upon us that we didn't have, that are good for us, that we needed. We don't bless God in that way, but we can bless God, as Paul is doing here. When we bless God, we can't give him something that he doesn't already have, right? We can't give him a thing that he needs. He doesn't have any needs. So we can't do that, but we bless him in the sense of acknowledgement. Amen. We acknowledge his glory. We acknowledge the fact that he deserves the honor and praise that we are trying to give him, right? Just like you've done in your singing this evening. You have ascribed glory and honor and praise and power and majesty and all of those things to the Lord. And that's what Paul is doing here. Blessed be the God and Father of our... In fact, I want to get a couple of... 5 o'clock. I want to get a couple of... Psalms 103. I want to get a few verses, maybe a couple of examples of how this expression, because I want us to really think about what Paul is saying. You can quote that, right? You can quote it better than I can, but do we? I like to pick verses apart, even word by word if I can sometimes, and get a little bit better sense of what the writer is saying, what God is telling us, right? The writer, whether it's Paul, Peter, James, Moses, whoever, what God is telling us. That's what I want to know. In Psalms 103, listen to what the psalmist David writes here. He says, bless the Lord. You see, that's a similar expression. Bless the Lord. Can we give him something that he doesn't already have? No. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. How do we do that? What is that? What are we doing? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. David here is ascribing the glory and honor, giving God praise. He's blessing the Lord. Why? For all of his benefits. But you know what? Whether the Lord ever blessed you or not, he still deserves all the glory and honor and praise, right? It's all his, whether you ever acknowledge it or not, too, right? Whether I ever receive any of his benefits, he's still deserving of all the glory, all the power, all the honor. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? There's your spiritual blessing, the forgiveness of sins. Think about it. When's the last time you sinned? You don't have to answer. Recently? When's the last time we came up short of perfection? That's the last time we sinned. Isn't it? Anything less than perfection is sin, right? Amen. Now, when I ask that question, or if you ask me that question, and I would be terribly ashamed, I think about other things. I think about my sinful thoughts. I think about my sinful actions. I think about something I said that I shouldn't have said, that offended somebody, that hurt somebody's feelings. I think about those things. I can go back a little further in life, and I can think about some very ugly sins in my life, things that I actually did, even though there's things that maybe I don't do anymore, you know, that old stuff is still in my heart. That old sinful nature of mine, it's still there, right? Oh, well, that's the last time I probably sinned, was the last time I had a sinful thought, which was probably not long ago. There's a spiritual blessing for us to put on the list. forgiveness of sins. I need it for eternity. I need it for now. I need it every day.
Amen.
All right? Forgiveness of sins. And what? How did that come about? Redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Didn't we read that there in Ephesians 1? The psalmist David is blessing the Lord, praising the Lord. You know, one of the most outstanding, I love this. I'm going to go to 1 Chronicles very quickly. You don't have to turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And one of the most outstanding, I just love to read this. I'm going to read it for you. Verse 11. David is nearing the end of his life, and he is still blessing the Lord. He's still praying. He's still praising. He's about to hand over the throne. It's about to go to his son Solomon, right? And at near the end of his life, we're told, this is 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10, it says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation." He blessed the Lord. Oh, there's our expression again. He blessed the Lord in front of everybody. Do you like to do that in front of everybody? Amen. Or do you just like to do that in front of the church? Huh? Are you thinking with me? Do we bless the Lord in front of, it doesn't matter who? Or do we just bless the Lord while we're here? Now, I'm afraid that I don't bless the Lord as much as I ought to. I know as much as I ought to. I'm pretty sure I don't bless the Lord as much out there outside this meeting house, outside the congregation of the saints and faithful brethren, the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. I don't do that as much out there as I do in here. Why is that? Can you relate? You're not guilty of that. I bet you are, if I may say so. I'd be so bold to say. Anyway, David, so he's blessing the Lord before all the congregation. You know, and when he says before all the congregation, this is all of Israel. It's not just a little small congregation. And you're not a small congregation tonight. It was by Saturday evening measures for sure. But this was not just a small gathering of people. This is before the congregation of Israel. David, he's the king. He's blessing the Lord before everybody. He's not ashamed to praise God. He's not ashamed to ascribe glory and honor to his name. And so he says this, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Listen to what he says. "Thine, O," this is how he begins his prayer. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That gets me fired up. I don't know about you. Amen. To begin a prayer that way, isn't that how Jesus taught us to pray also? Right? Jesus taught us to pray that way in the model of prayer there in Matthew chapter 6, right? He taught us to pray in this manner, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. Holy and reverence. That's how we're to pray. I just love that. So what is Paul saying now as he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's see if I can find Ephesians chapter 1. Get back. I know it's in there somewhere. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. And that's what Paul, I think, is focused on here. He says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Now, God has blessed us with all natural blessings too, right? Amen. Right? Everything we have, everything good we have, is of the Lord. Natural, spiritual, you know. But God, he causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust, right? And so as thankful as we ought to be for the good meal we had, as thankful as we ought to be for God providing us, for example, with hands and minds to work and labor with, to try to make a living, to try to provide for our families, opportunities to work and make a living, and material things, a roof over our head, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet. For material things, we ought to be thankful unto God. But far, far more important and far better than all those material blessings are the spiritual blessings. Amen? You agree with that? Paul says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Go to get a couple of more examples of that. James, what was it? James chapter 1. James said this. You can quote this as well, I'm sure. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift. Oh, yes, all the natural, all the physical, all of that. Yes, that's from the Lord, too. But I want to think about spiritual blessings. Have you named another one since we said the forgiveness of sins? Have you named anything? Have you thought about any other spiritual blessings that God has blessed you with? About wisdom. About wisdom. God has blessed you with wisdom. Not just... You know, when I read about wisdom over there in the Old Testament, when I read the Proverbs, I read, and it's like wisdom is personified. The wise man refers to wisdom as she, in fact, a few times. But when I think about wisdom, the wisdom of God, I think about Jesus Christ himself. He was the personification, if you will, of the wisdom of God. God has blessed us with that wisdom. Christ dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit living within us. God is in us, and we have access to the wisdom of God. Not only that which is written on our hearts, but this that we have in his word as well. Wisdom, that's another spiritual blessing. Now, that spiritual blessing comes in mighty handy to deal with the natural and the physical in this life too, right? But it's spiritual. It's a spiritual blessing, wisdom from above. That's James chapter 1. And while we're close by, though, let's go here and see what Peter says. And I want you to notice the similarities, because we don't often think about the similarities between Paul and Peter. They seem like two very different characters. You know, not characters and fictional characters, two different guys. You know, two different personalities. And their writing style is different, but I want us to notice here in 1 Peter, there's some similarities, though. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm just hitting all these great places, right? You can quote all of these, I'm sure. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is writing to primarily Jews, Christian Jews. They've been scattered, and he refers to them as strangers, right? He refers to them as strangers who have been scattered abroad. Now, no doubt, these strangers who have been scattered abroad, and I think he's primarily writing to those who have been not only just strangers and pilgrims here on the earth, that's all of us, right? But I think he's writing to those who have been scattered upon persecution. And no doubt a lot of what's on their mind is the physical and material, just how to survive the day. I'm sure that's a lot of what's on their mind. But what does Peter address? What does he have to say? Peter writes two letters. I think he's writing to the same people. He writes two epistles, and especially this first epistle. What does Peter address more than anything else to these people, and if I'm correct in this, who are being persecuted, maybe driven out of their homes, driven out of their homelands? What does he deal with? He deals with the spiritual blessings. He's addressing their spiritual health, if you will. He's not necessarily giving them, line after line after line after line of self-help and tricks of the trade and how to get along physically in a material way. He's dealing with their spiritual health, because without that, nothing else matters. Without that, nothing else matters, right? You agree with that? Amen. Without spiritual health, all the natural and physical doesn't mean a thing, it, relatively speaking. But anyway, he says, he addresses these people as elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect. Oh, there's your spiritual blessing, right? Amen. God looked down, he looked down through time, and he didn't look down to see how good you were going to do, or if you were going to remain faithful, or anything like that. You know that. But God looked down upon men, and in spite of what he saw, he chose, and he chose a great multitude of people that no man can number. Yeah. You know, don't. Can I give you some advice? I guess I can, since I'm up here. Don't talk to others when you get to that point. I wouldn't recommend it being the first thing you bring up. But when you talk to others, you have that opportunity to speak about election, predestination, and those beautiful doctrines of grace. Don't leave them with any inkling, any ounce of possibility, of opportunity, potential in any way that they think you're only talking about a few. Amen. Always, always, always make it clear that when we talk about God choosing a people, that we're talking about a great multitude of people that we read about in Revelation 5 and 9, Revelation 7 and 9, a great multitude of people out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and people that no man can number, far more than, may I say, that the gospel will ever reach. So don't ever forget that. My advice for the night. He refers to them as elect. The spiritual blessing that God would even look at me in any other way except condemnation. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve. That's what we all deserved. Amen. But he didn't do that. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Oh, well, there it is, foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is the establishment by God himself of a relationship with you based on his love. Not on anything you did. Not on anything that he saw. It's not the same as his omniscience. I always have to think about that. I mean, it's all there in God. You know what I'm saying, right? It's based on what he determined. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This is what I wanted, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds like Paul's writing. That sounds like Paul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter also is ascribing honor, glory, and praise and with thanksgiving unto God for all of the benefits, as David said. All the benefits shown him. For all these spiritual blessings. What does he say? Why bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why bless the supreme divine of the universe? Why ascribe unto him glory and honor? Not only does he deserve it, it's all his anyway, but we are the benefactors of what he has chosen to do. We'll come back to that in Ephesians chapter 1 in just a second. Which according to his abundant mercy hath been... Abundant mercy. Is there any other kind of mercy? I'm thankful there is no other kind of mercy. You know, I look back. I had a former life. You probably had a past too. And if anybody could think that God's mercy, it just can't go that deep. He's run out on me. That's me. But he didn't. He didn't run out of mercy. Amen. His mercy is abundant. If anybody could have thought, and I did, that God's mercy was just simply not deep enough for my sins. According to his abundant mercy. Abundant mercy. Mercy that never runs out. Amen. Never runs dry. He says, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's another spiritual blessing. Think about it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that's a truth that everything we believe is based on that, right? But it is also a spiritual blessing that you are have received the benefits of, right? You received the benefits of the resurrection. In fact, you were there in Christ. on the cross when he died and when he rose from the grave, we were in him. And in fact, Paul, there, back over there in Philippians, was in the second chapter, third chapter. Paul, his sole desire was to know the power of the resurrection. That's a spiritual blessing. So we have that power. We have received that power. We have benefited from the power of the resurrection. We can utilize, depend on, lay hold of, however you want to put it, the power of the resurrection. I need that to get by today. I don't have to worry about whether it's going to be sufficient when Christ returns and calls my body up out of the grave. I don't have to be concerned whether it's going to be sufficient for that. I want to know it. I want to know that power. I'm not concerned that it's insufficient in any way at any time, but what I want to know is now. We don't have to wait till that day to experience the power of it now, right? That's what a spiritual blessing that is. The power of the resurrection. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So many spiritual blessings there, but do you see the similarities? Peter is also blessing God. He is praising God. He is thanking God. He is ascribing glory and honor to the Lord in his prayer. And so let's go back again to Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Can I take a little different route for just a moment? Also in Ephesians chapter 6, here's some spiritual blessings. Now we kind of talked about some grand truths, you know, the forgiveness of sins, redemption, the inheritance that we have, the power of the resurrection, being among the elect, the chosen in Christ, and before the foundation of the world, and all these grand truths, and they are also spiritual blessings which we enjoy. What about Ephesians chapter 6? Have you faced any spiritual battles lately? And the battle might be within you. That might be the most significant battle you faced lately. I don't know. You might have faced some spiritual battles out there, you know, external to you. Do you face those? You know, I wonder sometimes, because I don't go home in the evenings. I don't go home and feel like, man, I sure was persecuted today. Do you feel that way? Now, sometimes I go home at the end of the day and I feel like I might have experienced a little ridicule. Okay? Somebody might have hurt my feelings a little bit. I might have been knowingly or unknowingly ostracized. You know, there in the office or something. That's about the extent of it. Somebody, I might go home at the end of the day and somebody would have maybe questioned in a very insincere way my beliefs, my faith. But I don't go home at the end of the day feeling like I sure have been persecuted. Do you? Now, we don't have to feel that way to be engaged in spiritual battles. Now, don't get me wrong. Our spiritual battles are of many different stripes, many different flavors, many different degrees. But regardless of what the spiritual battle is, we have spiritual blessings, spiritual tools, if you will, spiritual weapons. Ephesians chapter 6. What does he say? Beginning in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Have you had to face the devil lately? You know what the devil likes about me? He likes my nature. Think with me. The devil likes my human nature. They got a lot in common. Don't they? How about you? Satan really likes my human nature. And he's busy, and I don't know if demons and other, I don't know what all, you know, who all works for him, but he's got others that they're always just poking and prodding my human nature, right? Constantly. Won't you be thankful when that day comes, you won't have to worry about that anymore. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God. God, in his infinite wisdom, in his word, has given us spiritual weapons, tools, weapons, however you want to think about it, to withstand the devil, the wiles of the devil. Think about that. You know, I haven't told you a thing you didn't already know tonight. I'm going to tell you something else you've heard time and time again. I'm not recommending that you go out and start picking a fight with the devil. Don't do that. Don't do that, okay? That doesn't work on that side either. Don't go out looking to pick a fight with Satan. That's dumb. Just may I be plain about it? That's just dumb. We've got the tools, but what does he say? To withstand the wiles of the devil. Have you ever thought about that? To be able to stand against. So we're not talking about offensive weapons to go out and where's Satan? I'm ready to fight him. But we know we don't have to because he's going to come looking for us, right? So he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and we think we do. We think the person is the enemy. The person that you're dealing with, the person that might be persecuting you, the person that might be ridiculing you, that person, he or she is not the enemy. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There's a principle, there's a power at work, maybe has misguided or deceived that person. But the person themselves, the person is not the enemy. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, there's plenty of that to go around, right? Maybe some of you brethren can help me figure out just what those high places are. I can think of maybe a couple of possibilities, but there might be places where we don't think about as much. But we don't wrestle against those things, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, I'm sorry, but we do wrestle against the principalities, the powers, this wickedness. But he gives us, here's a spiritual blessing, the whole armor of God. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go through all these, but the whole armor of God, and this is where he says in verse 13, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So God knew that we would be facing this, and he's given us in his infinite wisdom, along with his wisdom, he has given us these tools, he's given us these weapons to withstand the devil. Isn't that a wonderful spiritual blessing? Put that on your list. Amen. Spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And here's just a few, and you can read the rest of them for yourself. In heavenly places. Heavenly places in Christ. The origin of these spiritual blessings, none other than God himself, God the Father. The means by which we enjoy them, if you will, the Holy Spirit of God. The reason we have what we have and the reason we are what we are, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All of this come, the origin of these, I know there's heavenly places that we enjoy while we live here in the world, but God has blessed us with these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I think Paul is speaking as much about anything as the origin, reminding us all of that comes from him. Then what does he say? According. This is the good part, right? According as he hath chosen us. Now, you know what that word according means. You know that it means in harmony with, for example. You could say in as much as, you know. So there's a connection here between the spiritual blessings the fact that God has blessed us with these spiritual blessings according or in harmony with or in as much as or in proportion to or, you know, seeing that or agreeable to the fact that what? That he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That puts a little bit different perspective on, first of all, my idea of these spiritual blessings, just what those are, but also just the sheer magnitude of them and the supply of them. The supply of those spiritual blessings, according as something that God did before the foundation of the world. He is blessing you today with spiritual blessings in accordance with, in harmony with, based on the fact that he actually began all this before creation. That's just amazing to me. And I tell you, and if he started that based on what he did and decided and all of that before the foundation of the world, man, I don't have to worry about it running out, do I? We don't have to worry about all of those running out before the end of time, before he comes, before Christ comes back, according as he hath chosen us. Chosen us. Now, I'm going to have to look and see what time it is. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be. We should be. We ought to be? No. No. That's an interesting phrase. Should be. It's not what we think of, and it's not the way we use the word should, you know, in today's language. We don't, you know, we use it as we ought to be. And we ought to be, all right? Yeah, we ought to be. But he says that we should be. It actually comes from the same word. It's a derivative of the word that we have in Scripture, old and new, actually, that refers to God, that causes us to think about God, the I am. In other words, it is a present condition. And it's a present condition not based on your ability, your willingness. It has nothing to do with us other than that we are the benefactors of it. Is that the right word? We are the beneficiaries of it. Maybe that's the right word. Well, we should be. That we will be. And in fact, that we are right now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are holy and without blame before him in love. There's another spiritual blessing. Would you agree with that? Another spiritual blessing that we have been cleansed, we have been sanctified, we've been made holy, and we are without blame. That sinful thought that you had a little while ago, you ought to take the blame for that, and you ought to receive the consequences of it, and you might, and I might, endure some consequences while I live here in this world, but I'm not going to receive the full consequences that it deserves. Right? Anything that I've ever attempted to do that has come short of perfection, I am exonerated of the full force of God's wrath that imperfection deserved. That's amazing to me. Spiritual blessings. We have to finish the sentence. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, right? We didn't deserve to be in God's family. God, by his own, you know what? We are the benefactor. We are the beneficiaries. Keep getting that word. Of God, of what God determined. We are enjoying the fruits of what God chose to do before the world began. Before there was ever the first sin, he provided the remedy, the cure, Not just a remedy, the cure for that sin. Well, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. What are you thankful for this evening? What are the spiritual blessings? How long is your list of spiritual blessings? I just barely scratched the surface, right? And all of those spiritual blessings that you have thought about tonight, I don't know about you, how ungrateful I am. How ungrateful we are for all his benefits, for all his kindnesses. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In the beloved. Friends, all that we are, all that we have, it's in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much to be thankful for. I'm thankful that, that you allowed me the opportunity to be here with you this evening. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for your pastor. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that make up this congregation and others that are visiting from other churches. I'm thankful for the church itself. That's a spiritual blessing, right? Where would you be without the church? Well, you'll be in heaven one day, but where would you be now in this life without the church? It's another spiritual blessing. It just on and on. And it just never ends, right? I'm thankful, and especially this time of year, I'm thankful for being able to gather with family, right? Family is a precious thing. So precious. Thankful. Every one of you are going to stuff yourselves full of turkey and dressing in the next few days. We're going to get full. There's such an abundance of those natural blessings. Even in the midst of the abundance that we have, there are still those among us that have nothing, though, right? Don't be forgetful of those this time of year. I really don't know where this should end or how to even end it. The spiritual blessings, all based on what God chose to do by himself, in and of himself, and totally through himself. And you're the recipients of that. Thank you very kindly for allowing me a few minutes. Brother Sam, come ahead and close out.